From WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting Central and Northern Michigan. I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Coming up on the show, an archivist at Central Michigan University's Clark Historical Library found rare audio from dedication ceremonies surrounding the opening of the Mackinac Bridge.
The Mackinac Bridge stretches more than 5 miles across the Straits of Mackinac. And tonight, thousands of lights sparkle from the graceful beginning of the approaches to the main towers.
Take a trip back in time to June of 1958 to experience the awe and wonder of Michigan's most iconic landmark as part of our America 250 series. And this week's Brain Teaser is all about Labor Day in Northern Michigan. And don't worry, we'll walk you through the question right after this. Saginaw locals came to Monday's city council meeting in protest over a recent use of force incident by city police. Last weekend, multiple videos surfaced of Stephanie Nicole Anderson being arrested by multiple officers in the city's downtown. The videos show Anderson being tased, forced to the ground, and then struck several times by officers. Sharon Anderson is Stephanie's mother. Sharon says her daughter is dealing with multiple injuries.
Her right eye is messed up. She can't see out of it. It's bad in the back of her face. And right here, they had glued her face back together. But she also got a lot of pain going on.
Protesters marched from a nearby park to the city council meeting, and they called for transparency and criticized what they say are multiple recent instances of excessive force used by the police. The two officers directly involved in the incident have been put on administrative duty. The Saginaw Police Officers Association said they will support the officers and that people should wait for the investigation to finish before passing judgment and taking sides. Michigan Republican Congressman John Molinar says he wants to see a deal end the ongoing trade war between the United States and Canada. This comes less than a week before 50% tariffs on select goods could be imposed on Canadian imports. Canadian officials said they're matching those tariffs dollar for dollar in retaliation to President Donald Trump's actions. During a telephone town hall, Molinar says the U.S. should have fair trade relations with Canada.
And unfortunately, what normally is a civil, private negotiation working towards agreements has spilled into some name calling and some things that haven't been as productive as I'd like.
Molinar also says he disagrees with Trump's executive order that renamed Lake Ontario to Lake America in response to the ongoing trade fight. According to a recent poll from Reuters, only 20% of Americans support tariffs on Canadian goods. 14% said they supported the renaming of the Great Lake. Hospital administrators at My Michigan Health gave the ELMA Nurses Union their, quote, last, best, and final offer during the latest bargaining session. Now, this was the 18th attempt to secure a union contract for the nurses, who have been without one since February. Sarah Weber, who is a member of the bargaining team, said the final offer still doesn't give nurses sufficient pay.
We're not bringing it to, like, a tentative agreement vote. We're bringing it to our members to let them see and make a decision on if this is suitable.
That vote will happen this coming Tuesday. The nurses' union is planning to picket outside the hospital next week. If union members vote the contract down, Weber says she hopes hospital administrators will rethink their final offer. My Michigan told WCMU in a statement that nurses will see a substantial economic benefit in this final offer and hopes that it will be ratified by union members. State officials are unable to spend billions of federal dollars earmarked for rural broadband projects until the Trump administration issues guidance. The Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program is meant to help connect remote areas to high-speed internet. States had to rework projects last year to lower the cost of the program under new rules, and that left $21 billion that need instructions. Eric Frederick, Michigan's chief connectivity officer, says the state has more than $500 million waiting to be used. He says one of the biggest needs is helping people get online.
That means addressing affordability, addressing devices, digital skills, AI literacy, you name it. There's a whole host of things. As technology continues to evolve, so do our needs on that side.
Frederick and other state leaders say it's not clear when guidance will come. And parts of Michigan had their driest summers on record this year, according to data from the National Weather Service. As many farmers rely on irrigation to water their crops, researchers at Michigan State University are creating new technology to make the process more efficient. WCMU's Emma George Griffin has more.
Irrigation technology is expensive, and sometimes farmers don't know when to turn on their systems or how much water to use. Yongso Dong develops irrigation technology at Michigan State University. He says MSU developed a sensor that is put in soil throughout a farm. Dong says it will help growers be more precise when applying irrigation.
Having the sensor deployed on farm, they know what is really going on in terms of soil moisture. And based on the information, I can better manage the irrigation.
The sensor is low cost, and Dong says it will also help farmers conserve water. Dong says the data has been especially helpful to tree fruit growers, but MSU plans to expand the technology to other crops. I'm Emma George Griffin, WCMU News.
And now it's time for this week's Brain Teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So, let's draw. And it's a Michigan Labor Day question revolving around the Mackinac Bridge Walk. In what year did the Mackinac Bridge Walk see its highest number of walkers? Again, in what year did the Mackinac Bridge Walk see its highest number of walkers? We'll connect you to that answer right after this. After years of taking ferries to travel between Michigan's upper and lower peninsulas, a bridge that many engineers said would never work finally became a reality. As people prepare to walk the Mighty Mack this coming Labor Day, I take us on a journey back to 1958 to learn more about the dedication of the iconic Mackinac Bridge.
I was born in Michigan, and I wish and wish again.
One doesn't have to be born in Michigan to know about the Mackinac Bridge. Many tourists as well as Michiganders have been visiting the Mighty Mack since its official opening on November 1st, 1957. But I wanted to hear what it was like around the time that it opened, so I made a call to Central Michigan University's Clark Historical Library. I asked archivist Brian Whitledge if there was any audio documentation from the moment that the bridge opened. After a few days of searching, Whitledge said he could only find one compact disc that held a recording of a vinyl record, but with the bridge dedication presentation that took place 7 months after the 1957 opening, June 27th and 28th of 1958. The recorded event was produced by radio station WSOO out of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And an unnamed narrator, an on-scene announcer, presumably both from WSOO, they lead the recorded presentation.
This is the moment of dedication of the Mackinac Bridge. A poem in steel and concrete. A web of steel uniting the two peninsulas of Michigan. This is a moment of dedication to the nation.
We are speaking to you from Mackinac City, the southern approach to the Mackinac Bridge, on the eve of the official dedication ceremonies of this mightiest of all bridges. The Mackinac Bridge stretches more than 5 miles across the Straits of Mackinac. And tonight, thousands of lights sparkle from the graceful beginning of the approaches to the main towers. Towers 552 feet above the water. Showers of fireworks, every color of the rainbow, like a million flash bulbs in technicolor, reveal the tremendous size of the Mackinac Bridge. Automobiles are slowly crossing the bridge, their headlights adding to this cascade of color. Thousands of cars are jammed on both approaches to the bridge, and thousands of others line the streets.
Then festivities continued into the next day, July 28th of 1958, as politicians and special speakers were on hand to dedicate the enormous span. One speaker was a man better known as the father of the Mackinac Bridge, Prentice M. Brown. Brown was the chairman of the Mackinac Bridge Authority at the time that led the effort to fund the bridge through revenue bonds instead of taxes. This made the construction of the bridge fiscally possible, and here he describes how special the structure is.
The graceful catenary of the sinewy cables are a delight to the eye as they mount from the deep-set foundation on the south up and over the tall towers, across the wide channel, and on down again to this mass of concrete on which we now stand.
Michigan's governor in 1958 was G. Menin Williams. Williams also helped get the project funded and speaks on the importance of having a direct connection between two sides of the state.
At long last, after nearly 100 years of dreaming about a physical link between our two peninsulas, The Mackinac Bridge is a reality. Michigan is at last fully and literally one state.
Over 3,500 construction workers from American Bridge Division and Merritt Chapman and Scott Corporation were behind the on-site build of the Mackinac Bridge, five of them losing their lives, and over 7,500 workers from United States Steel. And Roger M. Blau from the United States Steel Company takes to the microphone next to showcase those men and women who created the large cables, towers, girders, and beams that pieced together Michigan's greatest connection.
Commendation of those many men who poured the metal and fabricated the members of this mighty bridge, those who drew the wire and spun the cable that secured this bridge over the straits, and those who supplied the skills and intrepidity that were necessary to erect this towering structure.
But the Mighty Mack would have never come to be without the daring engineer behind the design of the massive structure, Dr. David B. Steinman. Back in the 1950s, there were no computer-aided design programs. Engineers put pen to paper and relied on advanced math and physical modeling to put work in motion. And Steinman was one of the best, using those skills to design suspension bridges. Steinman can be heard here regarding how the Mackinac Bridge was his crowning achievement.
Today we are celebrating a dream come true. With the aid of divine providence, our dream of years has been fulfilled. In humility and reverence, we dedicate this work of faith, and with pride we behold what vision, courage, and determination have wrought.
And more speakers also commemorated the day, including one who read a letter from the United States President at the time, Dwight D. Eisenhower, and in it he describes the vision and labor of the Mackinac Bridge as a, quote, symbol of American character. This dedication ceremony, June 28th of 1958, was the final rivet in the project, the engineering world said, couldn't be accomplished and was proven otherwise. We now return to the recording from WSOO, where the narrator ends our journey to the dedication of what he says is one of the nation's greatest achievements.
This is the heroic saga of the Mackinac Bridge. Generations dreamed the crossing. Daughters shook their heads in scorn. Brave men vowed that they would build it. From their faith, the bridge was born. There it spans the miles of water, speeding millions on their way. Bridge of vision, hope, and courage. Portal to a brighter day.
The $100 million pride of Michigan, the Mackinac Bridge.
And my story on the historic Mackinac Bridge dedication was mixed and produced for WCMU's America 250 series. A man was found with severe injuries during a music festival in northern Michigan this summer. There's many unanswered questions surrounding the event, and since it's blown up on social media.
Facebook users have expressed their frustration with local police, saying it's too soon to dismiss the possibility of it being a targeted attack.
That conversation with WCMU's Emma George Griffin drops tomorrow morning in a bonus episode of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to follow the podcast wherever you're listening right now. And now it's time to reveal that answer to this week's Brain Teaser. Today's question is a Michigan Labor Day question revolving around the Mackinac Bridge Walk. In what year did the Mackinac Bridge Walk see its highest number of walkers? Once more, in what year did the Mackinac Bridge Walk see its highest number of walkers? And the answer is, it was 1992. The largest crowd in the history of the Mackinac Bridge Walk occurred in 1992 when an estimated 85,000 people participated. And that turnout was driven by special guest President George H.W. Bush, who became the first sitting U.S. president to walk it. Wow, 85,000 people. To put that into perspective, the first bridge walk in 1958 only had 68 people. That's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter linked in the show notes, where you'll find more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, wcmu.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Shaw. Mike Horace is our executive producer. And I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Have a safe and fun Labor Day weekend.